Hey, Business Central enthusiasts. Welcome back to another episode of A Shot of Business Central and a Beer. I'm your host, Ken Sabahar, and joining me as always is my fantastic co-host, Michael Introvertolo.
Hey, everyone. It's great to be back for episode 58. Can you believe it, Ken? We're almost hitting the big 6-0.
Time flies when you're talking about all things Business Central and enjoying some good cold beer. Speaking of which, Michael, what are we sipping on today?
Well, in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day around the corner, we've got an ice cold Irish beer lined up. It's our way of toasting to both business insights and the luck of the Irish.
Absolutely. Now let's dive into the agenda for today. We've got an exciting lineup. We'll be covering the latest Business Central news and also talking AI with Google's latest efforts with Gemini. But most importantly, we'll be unpacking the upcoming new features of 2024 Release Wave 1.
It's a packed episode, and I can't wait to get started. Our listeners are in for a treat today.
Definitely. So grab your favorite beverage, whether it's a shot of Business Central knowledge or a sip of your favorite beer. And let's jump into episode 58 of A Shot of Business Central and a Beer.
Well, speaking of beer, we've got Murphy's Irish Stout. So we're celebrating St. Patrick's Day a couple weeks early. Oh, better you than me.
You can hear that opening, huh?
Oh, it's highly carbonated, folks. But yeah, we're jumping in with a little Irish St. Patrick's Day cheers and festivities a couple weeks beforehand, just because our next podcast date will be after St. Patrick's Day. So
yeah, you know what? This might be the, you know, as being growing up in the Chicago area, South Side resident, you know, they take their St. Patrick's Day celebrations pretty seriously. The South Side Irish Parade is big event.
Big drinking event.
around here in these parts, a lot of Irish bars where I was growing up. So definitely, used to celebrating St. Patrick's Day, but this might be the earliest I started celebrating over my all these years.
St. Patrick's Day and Halloween might be one of the two holidays, or the two holidays you might be able to make a case for where it should be a federal holiday.
Yeah. So we got Murphy's Irish Stout here. Ingredients: water, malted barley, hop extract, and nitrogen. That's it.
Yeah, you know what? When I see nitrogen, kind of worries me. I'm not a fan of non-carbonated beers, right? And I think it pulls out the carbonation.
Creates that velvety, creamy, smooth mouthfeel.
Yeah, some people love it. I'm not a fan of it, but let's see what else we dive in. So it's a dark color. It's a stout. No surprise there, right?
Jet black.
Yeah, it's got like a khaki colored, I don't know, foam head on it, I'd say.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but the alcohol level is pretty low, 4%.
Yeah, 4%.
For a stout, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, very, very similar. I mean, naturally to compare to a Guinness.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the smell, the flavor, the color, style, this is extra smooth, wonderfully palatable. Toffee and coffee undertones.
I was going to say, I'm getting some coffee undertones.
With minimal bitterness to it. Sweeter, a little creamy and sweetness to it.
Yeah, Beer Advocate had the score of an 85. So that's an average rating at 3.76 out of 5, which is pretty decent, I would say. Right? Because it's not, I don't know, would you consider it a craft beer? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. They said, they make well over 100,000 barrels a year. I don't know if that falls into the craft.
Yeah, I don't know.
Craft segment or not. And it's been around for like 150 years or something like that, 160 years.
Yeah, I guess it's brewed since 1856 in the iconic Ladies Well Brewery, Cork, wherever that is.
County of Cork, Ireland.
It's in Ireland?
Sure.
Are you Irish at all, by any chance?
No. Maybe like I'm an honorary... honorary just from where I grew up and a lot of friends.
You had enough Irish beers to consider being part of the family.
Right. Yeah. I've earned my stripes.
All right. First taste. What do you got? Did you try it?
Yeah. I mean, if you said it was a Guinness, I would have believed you.
Yeah. It's definitely tastes
right?
like a Guinness.
I mean, right. Very, very similar.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because it has the same bitterness I think of as Guinness having. I mean, I'm a Guinness virgin, so to speak, right? I had my first Guinness, was that December at the company party? So, but yeah.
Well, it's got that like toastiness to it, maltiness and chocolatey kind of toffee, but
smooth.
Not that bitter, a little more.
No, but the bitterness is around the same, I would say, as a Guinness.
Oh, yeah, right?
From reading this, they're like, oh, it's not as bitter. I'm saying it's the same kind
of. I think it's very, very similar flavor profile. Chilled at 40 degrees, poured at 45 degrees is Fahrenheit, right, is what they
We might have to start bringing in a digital thermometer to step up.
I think we're probably a little colder than that right now. This is chilly. But you know, hey, we're in the US of A. So, you know, we like our beer.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to be drinking this. And then next up, we're going to dive into the shot at Business Central.
Let's do it.
It's time for the shot of Business Central, and I want to kick things off here by talking about, well, later on, we're going to talk about the 2024 release wave one, but some other news to start with. Update 23.4 for Business Central Online 2023 release wave two was released. Really not too much to talk about. There's just really one feature change, and it was the App Source ISV publishers can preview their App Source apps with select customers so that what it really is after you upload your app to AppSource, you can keep it in preview mode, and then you can send certain selected customers a link to whatever to actually try it out and give you feedback on it before you actually publish your app. Next up, we got Business Central Office Hours Call. March 19th, this call is going to be on how to use telemetry to change your business processes as a partner. We will put a registration link in the show notes. Oh, and there's a couple new promos for Business Central. So there is a Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central 10% discount for Microsoft 365. What this is, if you're currently using Microsoft 365, I believe it's E3 or higher right now, you can, and you're also a new customer, you can get a 10% discount at Business Central. It runs until June 30th, 2024. And then one more promo called the AIM, which stands for Accelerate, Innovate, Move, Business Central Deployment Offer. This is really for partners. It's going to run to June 30th, 2024. And it's a way for partners to provide like a implementation plan and whatnot, and they can recoup some money to help onboard their customers more quickly and more cost effectively. See what else we got here. Oh, there's a new video series on a new Business Central YouTube channel. So Microsoft has launched a Business Central video series called Under the Hood, and it's on their new Business Central YouTube channel. So episode one for Business Central Under the Hood was developing AI in Business Central. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about the AI theme going forward. In the show notes, we'll put a link to the first episode as well as to the brand new YouTube channel. And lastly, what I got is for partners, Microsoft has launched a reskill program. So according to a recent Microsoft survey, a staggering 77% of Business Central partners currently find themselves hindered in achieving business objectives due to a lack of skilled professionals. I know that resources are short across the Business Central community, so this isn't going to really hit, you know, it's not. You're not going to go out there and find somebody who has all this Business Central experience and you can take this person and put them right in and put them to work. It's more along the lines of, you know, they're going to collaborate with leading workforce development partners and, you know, they're going to hire the person, they're going to help train the person and then help coach the person. So let's see here, coach, there's a six month coaching program that's going to enhance both product and professional skills new hire, so to speak. So yeah, they're doing what they can to help partners get in, get some help out there.
It's good. You always use more Business Central resources, right?
Absolutely. What do you got for us, Mr. Ken?
Just a couple quick notes. On AppSource for Business Central, there are now over 4,900 listed apps out there.
Wow.
Closing in on the magic 5,000 number. Well, I feel like maybe I said that last month. And also just want to kind of remind everyone that you may go into AppSource if you're shopping for new apps out there. You may see relatively new last major release was the ability to monetize or to pay for the apps through AppSource. So you may see a new pay now button that allows you to actually purchase and license those apps directly through AppSource. To kind of simplify that buying process for customers. So I know more and more ISVs are beginning to add that as an option for licensing. So just keep an eye out for that pay now button, which should make things a little bit easier. And then the other note, there in terms of the new Microsoft partner certifications or partner solution designations, there's one for business applications, which is where the Business Central partners fall, and still no details on the advanced certification for Business Central to achieve that advanced certification to earn the business applications incentive. So
a shame.
Yeah, so we'll continue keeping an eye out for that. There is one more little program Microsoft's putting out there in terms of the solution partner designations. There is a support services designation where Microsoft is basically creating this program whereby partners can apply and get approved as a support services partner. So what this would really indicate to you as a Business Central end user is if you've come across a Microsoft partner online and you see that they have this support services designation, it really means kind of just they have like a support help desk. They provide support services to you. If you don't see that, it just may indicate that that partner may focus just on licensing and really not have a support or consulting team, services team available for help desk type support.
Gotcha. So Ken, do you know what the fastest growing product is in Dynamics 365? Like which product is selling the most?
I'm going to say Business Central, Michael.
There you go. So Microsoft not having a specific certification for Business Central. Come on, Microsoft. What are we doing here?
Come on, man.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Yeah, we'll get there. Yep. So, yeah. So I think that's all I have. Any more news for you?
No, none for me.
All right. We're gonna rip into the 2024 Wave 1 new feature segment coming up next. All right. Welcome back, 2024 Wave 1 release. So let's dive into this. We've got 46 new features coming out starting in April over the following six months. And we're going to kind of highlight these a little bit differently today, Michael. We're going to, normally if you go out to the release notes page, mm-hmm. lists all the 46 new features, and they kind of group them, by topic: application updates, Copilot and AI, country and regional, development, legislation, power platform, user experience, and so on. We're going to change it up, and that's how we usually go through them. We kind of go through them by group and talk about those. Today, we're going to do it a little bit differently just because of when we looked at this list, it's a little bit different. We want to spend some time focusing on a few things a little bit differently than we have in the past. So what we've done is we've kind of grouped these 46 into five groups, which we'll talk about. Copilot is the first one. Projects is the second one, aka jobs. Then Power Platform, Shopify, and then we've got 27 in the all other category. So we want to spend more of our time on the bulk of the changes and key improvements and Copilot and projects. And then as we get down towards some of those other ones, we can kind of see how we're doing. But I want to make sure we focus on Copilot, which is everyone's excited about, really, right? And also a lot of changes around the jobs module.
Yeah, interesting changes.
We'll get into.
Interesting changes.
So, yeah, so let's get started. So what you notice, if you go look at the page, the release notes page, I'll be honest with you, where I went first personally is right to the Copilot. So, right? And I think I'm not alone.
I'm right there with you.
Everyone wants to know,
yeah,
how is Microsoft going to incorporate AI into Business Central? But and before we get into these detailed features, there's a key point that I want to make here. And that is that all of these Copilot features that they're building into Business Central, from everything I've seen so far, all these changes will be included with your standard Business Central user subscription.
Yeah, that's what Microsoft says, right? That Copilot for Business Central is included with the Business Central subscription. Right.
And I think I just want to point that out for everyone, because that is doesn't seem to be the norm for a lot of these Copilot features. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that for things like Copilot for GitHub, Copilot for Power BI, and some of the Copilot for Office for Microsoft 365, there's an additional SKU,
right,
or subscription for $20 or $30 per user per month,
correct,
that you have to pay to get these Copilot features.
Right.
And with Business Central, Microsoft is incorporating all of these into these releases as they come out. So, I mean, huge value.
Yeah, huge. Absolutely. Especially, I mean, Business Central user licenses aren't that much in the scheme of things. So to add that along with it, yeah, I mean, for what you get for $70 to $100, it's pretty amazing.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that
Copilot features.
Yeah, the value, it just went up significantly. And it's going to continue to go up if they hold this pattern.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to somebody from Microsoft and ask them why it's like that, why they're charging separate for all the other ones. Maybe it's because of integration. They can't turn it on, turn it off, you know, and it's who, I don't know, but either way, it's a win-win for us and for users.
That's right. That's right. So let's stop. So we actually have 8 new features listed for Copilot for this upcoming release. Now,
quotation marks around new features.
Lay a caveat here, right? So let's start. The first one is bank reconciliation matching. Now that's so basically AI powered transaction matching and GL account suggestions for residual amounts. I thought that was last release.
So if you're already using this, we don't know what to say.
Yeah. So it looks like it is in version 23, but it's also included. Maybe they made it even better. So
that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking there's a feature or two that they've added to it that wasn't.
They just optimized it and made it even better.
Right. Right.
So that is one of the two. That one is available in April. That should be available. The other one that's available in April is the ability to use Copilot to extend and enrich your development tools. So what this allows is partners or developers, I believe, to bring generative AI experiences into their custom extensions. So it includes a signature UI or user interface elements, a module for connecting to the Azure OpenAI service with your own service key, guide, sample, and telemetry. So basically what this means is that you could build an app in for Business Central that custom app incorporates AI functionality.
Yeah, I wonder how that'll work, if it's going to link in with Copilot or whatnot. It's going to be interesting to see how people use it. So,
yep.
I mean, that could be a game changer.
Yeah, so definitely. It's kind of like a platform type level Copilot thing that's going to allow for customization tools, you know, for developer AI. And that's also April. Now, some of the other ones here, the rest of them, I don't know if there's anyone that you want to talk about next in particular. But the other 6 that are out here are listed as new upcoming features in this release. But interestingly, as of today, at least, here we are, first of March, there is no general availability date set. Now, maybe Microsoft will add this to this. They're just not sure exactly when these are going to be out yet. So they're still filling those in. But as of today, anyway, there is not a general availability date set for any of these other
features. Yeah, that's interesting. And like we were talking about earlier, why not just make the GA date for September, the month right before, if you're not sure.
Right.
Because you could always under promise and have it, you know, released in July. Nobody's going to complain. So it's interesting. I mean, will they be out on this release date? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a 50-50 chance. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. So what do you like? Anyone strike your fancy?
Well, I love the idea of Power Automate and using flows, right? I think, though, that it's not as simple as it should be or as simple as Microsoft made it out to be. So now they've got this AI feature where it's introduced Power Automate Copilot integration with Business Central. You know, and it's, you know, Microsoft says Copilot is the AI-powered work assistant that boosts creativity and improves productivity, yada, yada. This feature integrates Copilot and Power Automate with Business Central. So then you can start creating automation flows based on natural language. I think that anything they can do to make flows easier is highly beneficial because I think everybody could use them. So if you can actually use natural language to tell Copilot how to build a flow, and it's going to actually help you and you know, whatever. And it says, what else did it say?
It just says like use natural language to create these and it'll try to build the flow for you.
Right. I think that could, not to use the term again, but could also be a game changer for regular people, right? I mean, just go in and say it and it builds it. Now, depending on how accurate it is, that's really what's going to matter. If you're going to say something to it and it does it wrong and I have to go in there and try to figure out what's wrong, then I don't know. We'll see. But that's one of my
favorites. I should have known that you were going to pick that one because that's kind of like a hybrid one between Copilot and Power Platform.
Right. Yeah.
So I should have seen that one coming. I want to talk about the map e-documents to purchase order lines with Copilot. So this is a new feature that came out in the last release called e-documents. And they focused on the sales side in the last release. Now they're focusing on the purchase side. And the idea here, it appears, is that you're going to be able to kind of process a vendor invoice, match it against the purchase order with relevant receipt information for matching that document. So kind of like an OCR process.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think where this is going is I think much of like the whole quote to cash process is going to be fully automated. They're going to try to automate as much as possible. I mean, even so, there's another one in here where they're talking about AI with creating sales lines easier with Copilot, right?
Yeah.
But it's funny to me because I thought in my head when you first said, oh, we're going to start infusing AI into Business Central, the first thing I thought of was price matching, right? AI is going to be able to recognize, you know, an invoice price with whatever and match it and do whatever it has to do. So I'm kind of shocked that it took, I think we're on the third release maybe of AI tools.
Yep.
Right. That it took three releases for this to get tied in. But I think there's going to be a lot more of this. And like I said, I think the whole quote to cash process is going to be.
Yeah, this one's like you mentioned sales lines, entering sales lines sounds kind of interesting, right? Supporting various input methods, including free text, files, or pre-built prompts.
Right.
So kind of interesting there.
Yeah. Once again, I think, though, that's another one that is going to have to be highly accurate to really save people's time, especially if you have a lot of line and whatever it may be.
Right.
If you've got a lot of errors and have to edit a lot. I mean, how much time is it saving? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could be, you know, it could solve a big problem for a lot of people, which is like you have a lot of different companies that like provide data in different formats. It's all digital format, electronic, maybe in some sort of Excel worksheet or something. But if you could take this file it's always a little bit different because this customer sends it to you a little bit differently than that customer sends it to you. But if you can actually truly take that and have it read that and process it and understand what items they're buying and the quantities and effectively use it to basically replace like an order import or EDI functionality. There's a lot more that goes into EDI.
Right.
So yes, but still to be able to do that could go a long way. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of these Copilot features have a lot of potential. You know, let's see what else we got here. Create product information faster with Copilot. I think that's self-explanatory and kind of a given, right? learn more about fields with Copilot. It can help you if you don't know what a field is, you can ask.
Yeah, like help, basically right. Improving the online help
yeah.
Tools.
I mean, it's very nice. I wouldn't say it's one of their wow features.
But it's a good use of it, right? To be able to go search the internet, use ChatGPT or whatever to come up with some explanations on how a field works for mm-hmm. you to kind of nicely summarize all these different data sources
into
hopefully something that's accurate.
Oh, very beneficial. Absolutely. I don't know. Do you know more about one that intrigued me too was the what's the analysis tabs? Where's it
yeah. here? Yeah. So the analysis, so get to insights faster with Copilot generated analysis tabs. So what you may have noticed if you're in Business Central is up on the top of the page, there's an analysis little toggle button. And what it does is it allows you to take that page and view the data in like a data analysis view, like a pivot table, mm-hmm. where you can pick and choose different rows and columns and total values that you want to sum up. And what they've done is they've taken that, which in version 23, you manually have to go say, I want to view my customers, overtime, sales amounts, or whatever.
You can't say it, or even you got to actually physically do it.
Yeah. Right. Now what they're saying is that you can just type in a sentence to say, like, for
natural
example,
language, right?
Show me vendors by location sorted by amount of purchases, and it will build the analysis view for you.
That's pretty nice.
Right?
It's really nice.
So if you could imagine that, you know, taking this to a page where you've got all of your key sales data, yeah. like sales invoice lines in the key fields that you need on a page, and now use that analysis tool to basically ask for certain information that you want to see, and it presents it for you.
Yeah, and it even said that you can, what did it say? It's the ability to use natural language, right? So I what my notes here, I put, but just as big as the ability to use natural language to build the tabs is Copilot's ability to provide a summarization of the information presented in a natural language sentence.
Right.
I'm curious to know, though, I'd like to see how in depth of a summarization it's going to provide. Is it just going to be a, you know, one little sentence, or is it actually going to detail, I don't know, whatever it may be, to summarize for you in actual detail? I don't know.
We'll see.
Because to me, that's AI, right? Sorry, that's, I mean to cut you off. But to me, that's AI, where it's going to see all the analysis and the data, and then it can actually, I don't know, do something for you.
Well, that's the narratives feature in Power BI mm-hmm. that they're coming out with Copilot for Power BI. Is basically, here's all of my data and here's all my charts. Kind of creates this narrative. And I guess the closest thing would be if anyone who plays fantasy football, you know, on Tuesday morning, if you're in like a Yahoo or ESPN league, on Tuesday morning, you get an email.
Yeah.
And the email has this paragraph written talking about how you got your ass beat who your worst performing player was and who the other team's
decisions,
you know, top players were, and you should have started this person over that person. That's basically the same thing, right?
Yeah.
That's the same tool. They're using a narrative type AI powered solution probably to generate that data.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what it does though. Curious. I'm very curious.
Yeah. So those are our 8 Copilot and AI innovation features. Again, it looks like the previews, public preview won't be available in March for most of these. So we're going to have to be patient. But it's exciting to see that they're building all these things in and that it's included with the SKU.
Absolutely.
So, All right. On to our next topic. The next big topic is jobs module. So it seems they're paying a lot of attention to the jobs module over the last couple of releases here.
Right. So looking at it, though, and I guess the question I will start out with you is, so in the new release, they're going to change or use different terminology, right? Jobs is going to be known as projects. So is this going to improve the customer experience, or is this going to confuse customers?
I think globally, generally, it will improve because the more commonly used term is project.
Okay.
So now, for those people that have been using jobs in Business Central or NAV for years, it will create a level of confusion. There's also Microsoft Project.
Right.
And I think in other products, they have projects, like there's the project for F&O.
Right.
So that there could be some little confusion there. But I think generally speaking, within Business Central, it's a more generally used term.
Interesting. So you're for it.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not. It would have been fine if they left it as jobs.
Yeah.
As long as they improve the features and functionality of the modules. Okay.
Yeah.
But the one thing just to point out in terms of this new name is they're renaming the captions only. And that's important because if you've been using the jobs module for a long time, you have data in there. There's all these underlying field names. And you may have done customizations with reference custom field name or the job number. All of that you should not run into any issues. They're just changing the captions of the fields on the pages, right, on the tables to say project instead of job.
Yeah, but I think I saw it right. Even if you type in job or jobs into the search,
it'll know
it's projects, right? Yeah, right. So they're doing away with that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's important from an upgrade perspective or app or customization perspective. If they changed the field names of everything from job to project, people would have a lot of work to do.
Think it's going to happen in the future?
So by just changing the captions, they've eliminated. No, I think they're going to have to leave that.
Think so?
Yeah. Once they decide. Yeah. Hmm. All right, so that's one of the seven new features that's available in the projects module now. The next one, big one, I kind of, I ranked them according to what I think in terms of importance here, is the ability to archive projects. So currently a project is kind of a living, breathing thing. As you change job tasks and planning lines, the amounts change, and you kind of can't go back and see what did this job start off looking like. You have to modify the job as you go. All right, for a lot of reasons for revenue recognition and cost recognition. So what this archive ability allows you to do is automatically archive at certain triggers or events, or just hit a button called archive project. And it basically takes a snapshot of the job and the tasks and the planning lines and moves it into an archive. So kind of like an archived quote or archived order. So you could go back and look at these different archived snapshots or versions of that project to see how it changed over time.
You think this should be a standard feature? You won't have to go into that features page and turn it on? Sounds like it should be. I can't see a downside to it.
Yeah, right? Standard feature probably. Yep.
Yeah. Not bad. So I think looking over this list, obviously my expertise is not in jobs or whatnot, but I think the ability I saw here to invoice a customer for multiple projects, I'm actually shocked that that's not already a feature within Business Central.
So this is a subtlety. You could.
Oh, okay.
So it's the mechanics of how you did it. So in version 23 and earlier, you would start on a job and you would create an invoice. Then you could go to another job and you could push additional lines to that same invoice. Mm. So you're starting on the job. What this new feature does is you start on the invoice and you use a new function called Get Project Planning Lines. And so you're starting on the invoice and you're pulling up planning lines from different projects and you're pulling them in. Instead of pushing them to the invoice from the job, you're pulling them from the job into the invoice.
It's kind of the same thing though.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just the mechanics of how you do it.
Gotcha.
Right. So good. That's a good question. Cause that is kind of a confusing thing. Like, wait, how was that not a feature before?
Right.
Right. This is intriguing to me that there's also a change to create projects that you can invoice to multiple customers. So one project where you're billing to different customers. And so what they've done to accomplish this is they've added a bill to, sell to, and ship to address on the job task line. So at the task level, you can decide that you maybe want to invoice a different customer for that same job. project. So I'm not sure how common that is.
I was going to say.
I have not seen that be a huge demand. You know, the other one,
nice to have if you need it.
Yeah. And the other one too is define default location for a project or a project phase. They use the term phase. I wonder if they're referring to project task, if they're changing that terminology too. I'm not sure. Basically, this is a default. So if you put a default location on the job, it defaults that location to the task lines and to the planning lines to make your life easier. Less errors.
I think this release might have the most improvements that we've seen to projects slash jobs than any other one, right?
For sure. We've seen a definite uptick.
Yeah.
There was a very dry period for jobs over a number of years where there was really no action going on.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe it's the people moving from SL or GP into Business Central that are creating this demand. Which is great because I think that the jobs and now projects module is really a really powerful tool. It's not certainly not for every business, but for those businesses who build or create a unique product or service for a customer that have really enhanced billing and cost recognition requirements, it really can do a lot. So it's exciting to see from my perspective. And then a couple other ones, improving the integration between projects and service management and warehouses and assembled. And you can now do assemble to order items on a project and integrating with warehouse and inventory features. So that's kind of some kind of, you know, in the weeds improvements and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, you always got to have those, right? I mean, not everything's going to be a wow feature.
Yep. Yeah. So that's our second big, you know, grouping here. And then I don't know if you want to get started here with the some Power Platform updates.
So the way we grouped them is there's only really two Power Platform updates. The first one being where you can link Business Central environments to other Power Platform environments. You know, this is good. It's not permanent, right? So you can link, unlink, and then relink environments. I think this just kind of streamlines everything for people who are using the Power Platform along with Business Central. And then next up, we've got improve approval processes via Power Automate. So I don't use the approval process too much. You know, I've gone in there and messed around with it. It didn't seem too bad to me.
Yeah,
but does it need improving?
Yeah, there's kind of two approval workflow processes kind of that exist. There's like some built-in document approvals is what the feature has been called for years. And now there's Power Automate or Flow integration. And so obviously Microsoft is pushing Power Automate as the go forward solution. So like one of the three improvements that they made for Power Automate here is the synchronization of the approvers list between Business Central and Power Automate. Before there was no like synchronization between those. You had to set it up twice, basically. Gotcha. Those are some not great integrations things that they've improved. So they're trying to make it much more easy. To your point, automation of workflows and approvals is a really powerful feature.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people need that, right? I mean, to make sure, safeguard, make sure that things are getting done properly.
Yeah.
So people want to use these. So I think it's cool that Microsoft's spending effort to improve this and make it so that it's much more user-friendly and easy to set up and use.
But you would say they're trying to make Power Automate the de facto for approval processes then.
And the first one you mentioned, linking a Business Central environment to a mm-hmm. Power Platform environment. Basically, without that, what you had to do is if you had like some flows or automations, it didn't include the target like environment, like the Business Central target environment. So you had to go in and every reference, you would have to replace it time for every environment that you had, which
time consuming,
very time consuming, difficult, tedious, especially the more you had, the harder that job got.
Yeah.
So, again, just kind of a solid overall long-term improvement.
I mean, like I said, I love what Power Platform is, but I think it just needs to be simplified a little bit.
Yeah, they're working on it. All right. So I'll cover, we have basically two Shopify improvements. And I just wanted to talk about these, like specify these together, just because I'm not sure how many companies are using the Shopify integration features that come with Business Central.
I don't hear of too many, right? But I'm sure there's a bunch out there.
Yeah.
But it's really not who we end up dealing with.
Yeah. So what we're seeing here is like, you know, so there's two changes, simpler Shopify connection. So based on feedback from customers, we've made a number of improvements to the user interface. Also, Shopify B2B connection. So now Shopify Connector supports the latest feature of Shopify's B2B platform, such as companies, prices, payments, options, and more. Mm-hmm. So I think historically, the companies that were using the Shopify integration were really using it for business to consumer or direct to consumer, right? Market, where you just say, hey, this is what we sell. We're selling these Murphy Stout beer mugs. Absolutely. And they're $10 each.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you are, how many you buy, it's 10 bucks each. That's our price.
Right.
With B to business, it's important that you, right, that you have that customer's pricing and discounting on there. And maybe show things differently based on who they are.
Microsoft said it's great for managing multiple buyers and groups and offering different pricing discounts. So yeah, right along the lines of what you're talking about.
Yep. So yeah, so I think again, not sure how many people that impacts, but for those who are using it, it looks like they're really making a solid effort to improve the B2B side, which I think for Business Central company users out there, companies that are using Business Central, the B2B e-commerce portal
is huge.
Is much more important
than the B2C.
Than the business to consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. Portal,
right?
Right. Absolutely.
So, good to see.
All right then. So I think you said we had what, 27 features in the other category?
In the other category, yeah.
All right. So I don't think we're going to go through and talk about each one, but I got a couple here that actually are my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention really quick. So the first one is, and this is pretty self-explanatory, use drag and drop to attach multiple files, right? I think people have been asking for that since Business Central first became Business Central. So pretty popular. Next, I like this one too. You can now manage work orders and field service and invoice them in Business Central. So it's a Business Central and Dynamics 365 field service integration. I think for Business Central customers, you know, I think a lot of them are actually going to like that need field service. So let's see what else we got here.
I saw one. They're adding new Excel layouts for 35 standard reports. So 35 additional existing reports in Business Central have new improved Excel layouts. So yes, people always love having their data in Excel. So that makes sense.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, you know, it's just little nicks and nacks that people like automate IRS 1099 form submission in the U.S.
Yep. I did see a couple improvements here. There's a couple things for service management. This is another area, kind of like jobs, like service management. And, you know, it's been in this kind of dark period where there's not many improvements being made within the service management module, probably because, like you said, there's D365 field service where they're allocating their resources, right? However, there are a couple things that improve, you know, the user posting policy options and whether items can be blocked from use in the service management module. So they've kind of separated out the blocked field between blocked for sales and blocked for service. Because I think there may be instances where you don't want to sell an item anymore, but you may want to still be able to use an item for service.
Yeah.
So they've kind of split out that blocked field accordingly.
Ken, I think you should talk about line 38. I think a lot of people, when they see, they're going to ask what that is.
Audit Business Central operations in Microsoft Purview.
Yeah, Microsoft Purview.
Yeah, Purview. Right?
What is Purview?
Yeah, well, here's what's going to happen. In 2024, release wave one, auditable events occurring in BC are emitted to Microsoft Purview, allowing administrators to monitor and audit events across Business Central and other Microsoft services in a single space. And you're like, what?
Yeah, immediately I think large customer, large customer, large customer.
Yeah, it's like a large platform. So over your entire data set and IT ecostructure or whatever, you can see different errors and events and things going on. So I think Purview is a rebrand of a couple other Microsoft existing products that existed, bundled it, rebranded it. And again, I think maybe in the larger scale.
It surprised me why it's being offered for Business Central, but
yeah.
Although I think the ceiling for Business Central, right? The amount of users. Remember Nav? It was whatever 10 million to 500 million, and
yeah,
however many users. I don't know if Business Central has that scale anymore.
No, well, it certainly seems to be going up and up.
Right. So
yeah,
maybe it is.
That's interesting. Yeah, and there's some, like you said, there's some other things here. A couple of really interesting ones here. I guess this depends where you're at. There are a couple, again, some of these 46 features do appear to be specific to specific geographies or regions. One of which I thought was just interesting, being in the United States here, is achieve sustainable compliance with Business Central. Right. So this feature enables you to collect and report on your sustainability activities in compliance with the European Union's Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive and other ESG standards, which now impacts approximately 50,000 European companies. So you get your own, like a chart of accounts, you get a chart of emissions. And instead of a general ledger journal, you get a sustainability journal where you can record your data and report on it. So
it's interesting. I'm trying to see if there's anything else here that I think is worth noting. No, I don't know if there's anything really, really.
A couple things for like error troubleshooting. Like one is if you're on an error, you can like highlight it, or it'll show you the highlighted field that's causing the error on the page, or direct you to a specific page where you need to go to fix the issue. And the other thing is you can click on the little share button, which will send basically share through email or Teams or whatever the error message that you're seeing, so that someone can help you troubleshoot it. So kind of helping users troubleshoot their errors. So
yeah, there's actually not as many user experience feature updates that we're accustomed to seeing. Only a couple.
Yeah, much lower there. So yeah, so overall, exciting, some exciting new Copilot features, major changes to the jobs module, aka projects now. and then a lot of other little useful tips and things throughout.
Do you think we're going to be able to see those 6 or 7 Copilot features within this release? What's your gut feeling?
Between now and September?
Yeah.
The majority of them we will see before the end of September.
All right.
Yes.
Interesting.
Whether or not they'll be officially included, maybe they'll just be in preview mode by the end of September.
But we'll have something.
Something to see and test and use. I mean, these are really the things that you got to go in there and test, right? I mean, it's not just like things like, we renamed jobs to projects, right, and we added these Excel layouts to these reports. Those things are kind of just easy and second nature, and users might not. I mean, some of the things are just, this is better now, or this, I have this new option.
Yeah.
But some of these AI things, you really got to play around and test and see how do they work and what scenarios can we use and does this make sense for?
Right. Well, they're brand new to everybody. You know, no matter how long you've been on Business Central or Nav or whatever ERP you've been on, this is all new. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of AI, what do we got next, Ken?
It is snack time AI. We're going to give Gemini a little beatdown. All right. Welcome to our AI snack time segment. So we are, let's start it off. Most importantly, we're snacking, still drinking some Murphy's Irish Stout and snacking on some Pop Daddy pretzels, beer cheese pretzel sticks that you brought in.
I've never had them before. Found them at Benny's and they're really good.
They're delicious. Yep. They're kind of give dots a run for their money.
They do.
Cheese and pretzels, right? How can you go wrong? Cheese flavoring on pretzels.
Cannot
go wrong. Good. So we're going to enjoy some snacks here as we talk some AI. We've already kind of hit quite a bit of AI in our 2024 Wave 1 segment, talking about all the new Copilot features that are coming out. So if you're just listening to this AI segment, go back and listen to some of the cool new features coming out in 2024 Wave 1. But today, for this segment, what we're going to really focus on is some of the news recently. Now that you may have seen, Google finally, and I'm using air quotes here, got their act together on AI. And if you recall back in the news, they had a thing they released called Bard a few months ago, and that didn't really go very well. And then they kind of just rebranded and relaunched their AI products as Gemini about a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And I guess to put it mildly, it didn't go well.
Didn't go as planned, you'd say.
So I thought nothing'd be more fun than, you know, sitting here on our, of course, Microsoft themed podcast. And let's just give Google a beatdown.
Yeah, it's time to bash Google, and well deserved, right? So what it really was is, right, the Google released the Gemini Conversation Lab, which is, you know, a competitor to Copilot, ChatGPT, et cetera. And it turns out this app had a bias for, left-wing wokeness, right? So meaning that it would not produce images of white people or talk about history in certain ways. Relatively towards white people. So, for example, and I got a few of these. Frank J. Fleming asked Google Gemini to create an image of a pope, and he got back. Now, pope, when you think of a pope, you think of a pope as a white person, right, with the papal gear,
whatever. Historically, yes.
Right. Yep. But there are, you know, black cardinals and whatnot, so it wouldn't be too far-fetched to have an image of a black pope, which is fine. So that's one of the images produced. But the other image it produced was of a woman who is of Indian descent as the Pope. Now, I might be wrong here, but I don't think there's been a woman as a Pope before, and there might not be for some time. So it's a little bit wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying pretty hard, it seems.
Yeah. So this guy, Frank, was trying really hard to have Google image produce things of showing white people on it. And he said, you know, he says, I'm trying to come up with new ways of asking for a white person without explicitly saying so. So he says, Google, show me an image of a medieval knight. Now, when you think of a medieval knight, what do you think of? Like, you know, predominantly Eastern Europe or European person, white knight fighting knights, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the images that were produced were an Asian person in a knight's outfit. Someone looks like an Indian person wearing a knight outfit, but nothing with a white person.
Well, and even besides, like, I mean, so yes, right, a lot of bad results. And I think to more to the point, like that some of them are just kind of, I would say, like, silly, but I think some of them were pretty offensive to a lot of people, right? And in Google, and this is coming from their letter that they wrote, says that, you know, our tuning to ensure that Gemini showed a range of people failed to account for cases. And I thought that was interesting that they acknowledged their tuning, how they tuned AI, right? To me, that indicates programmed. I replaced the word tuning for programming. So how we programmed Gemini didn't really work out. We didn't program it very well. So we're going to go back and we're going to reprogram it, right?
Yeah.
Or quote, retune it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just own up to it. Say you screwed up. Nobody else is programming Gemini. You guys did it. you know, this goes back to what you were talking about before, right? Somebody out there has to control AI. AI is always going to have some sort of bias because there's always somebody programming it. Now, I don't know if you can create some sort of application with no bias in it, and then AI learns from all the information fed in from whatever it's linked up to, and then it creates its own bias or whatever opinions. But
right. Well, that's kind of the big question, I think, is like, how do you create, what is artificial intelligence? How do you create it artificially without any human biases or inputs? And I think kind of to separate the two from our podcast here and talking about Business Central, from a business application standpoint, right? If you think about like using AI to analyze your data and give you a narrative to explain the data, I think that's like a real world use of this that like is, you know, more black. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there's no bias really, right? It's just looking at a bunch of data and giving you some analysis and results on it. I'm guessing there is some ways that they probably could do that.
Oh, of course.
But still, I think just any, you know, ABC distribution company or manufacturing company, here's my data, give me an analysis of this data, like they're introducing into Business Central next release. I think that stuff is like more, it makes sense. It's like, it's more clear. Yeah.
So is that AI or is that machine learning? I really want to know the definition of AI.
Yeah, that opens up this whole can of worms. Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. What is it? Well, and I kind of wanted to kind of this to me, this whole, and you shared a few examples. You go online and anyone can go online and look up some of the silliness that it produced, the results and or what it would do or what it wouldn't do if you asked it for different mm-hmm. things. So what I say is you've got this, right? Everyone says AI, artificial intelligence. I have a few alternatives that maybe everyone can use as we go forward, right? So maybe we can consider these other, what do you call those, acronyms? We can consider these other acronyms. Instead of AI, we could call it PI, programmed intelligence, because it really isn't artificial. They're programming it, or as Google says, tuning it to produce specific types of results.
I like it. I like it.
Okay, like that one. That's one. Or we can go AS, keep the artificial, but the S is for stupidity. So we have artificial stupidity.
Okay.
Because again, if you look at some of these Gemini results, it appears that what you have is artificial stupidity.
Yeah.
Or maybe you want to go all the way and say, we can, instead of AI, you can call it PS, which would be programmed stupidity.
I thought you were going somewhere else with it.
No. So, and it's funny that you're like, what is artificial intelligence? And I'm like, well, it's funny. I was just talking about different acronyms and how to, what should these words really be? Is it really artificial intelligence? Right. And I think what they did is they kind of presented in my opinion, in very clear terms that this is not completely artificial intelligence.
It's just by their apology,
they're programming it, they're tuning it, they're putting, or though you might hear the term guardrails.
Yeah.
They're putting guardrails on what it will do or what it will say, and there's clear things based on the results people are doing that it will.
So I think there's such a race right now to get everything AI out there that they're not doing their work and checking it twice, so to speak. You know what I mean? So I think right now, a lot of it is the PS, the program stupidity. You know what I mean? But hopefully it'll move up to the AS. Right? And then maybe you've got your own hierarchy, or you created your own, own
tribe. Yeah. Eventually we can get up to AI.
To maybe up to the PI then or whatever.
But it's kind of funny. Like, so you think of Google, you think of this company with tens of thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands of employees.
Oh,
and this is one clearly, right? This is a momentous period where companies are trying to show their AI capabilities to gain market share and be competitive.
Yeah.
They didn't have a couple guys like these people who have done these tests sitting in a conference room at Google before they unleashed this the public.
Oh, they did. And it was probably dead on for what those couple guys wanted.
But you think, like, wouldn't someone have been like, maybe this isn't right. Maybe we shouldn't, this doesn't make sense. And people might not like this. Like that's what I find hardest to believe. Like just two Yahoos, like you and I, like sitting here with two computers and, you know, in a conference room. Hey, let me see what does it do if I say this? What does it do if I say that?
Yeah.
It seems like it would have been really easy to uncover these issues before they rolled this out.
Especially with, like you said, a company like Google with those resources. I just saw an interview with the CFO, and she's got some other title too for, I don't know if it was for Alphabet or Google, but she has $100 billion cash to just invest. $100 billion they're looking to invest.
Wow.
And she claimed that Google's actually been using AI technology for 10 years, and people just haven't realized it. I was like, I don't know. So it was on an interview with David Rubenstein on Bloomberg.
Yeah.
But, I'm not sure how, but you know, that's funny though, because I want to get back to this. I thought maybe Google Gemini's new, whatever. It's no big deal. It's just whatever. It's new. They're working the bugs out or whatever. So I went into Google search, and I told you this earlier, and I typed in, show me straight black couples, right? And I got all straight black couple images, which is what I thought. This is under the image section. So then I was like, all right, show me straight white couples. Did I get straight white couples back? No, I got black couples, interracial couples, a couple straight white couples. But even with that, there's bias. And Google search has been around for what, 25, 6, 7 years, something like that?
Yeah.
So there's always going to be bias, right?
Maybe they're right. That has been around or been being applied for years without people knowing it.
Well, yeah, if it has some sort of AI with it, I don't know. Yeah. But the bias is just...
Yeah, and what's difficult, those are right. And I just want to be careful. It's like, these are easy examples to do, right?
Well, but you can do anything.
Because it's very clear, right? In these examples that people are doing out there that you're sharing that have yielded these results. But like, those are just so easy examples. They're easy to understand, but imagine that the level of that's happening that is more nuanced that people aren't realizing or seeing that's happening. That's a little bit more difficult to kind of show as in such stark terms. Right. So that's kind of my takeaway, is that like these very, very elementary type examples that people have shared on the internet and on the news or whatever you're looking at. It's just easy. But I think it's much deeper than that, because there's much more nuanced things that you may not even realize.
Right. What worries me, though, is, right, let's just say you've got a team at Google, a team of 10 or whatever, that's behind this AI. I don't know, whatever. And all these individuals are like-minded and want to push some sort of ideology. Let's just say it's, I don't know, dogs are really cats, okay? They can code into AI to actually start making people believe this by searching, is a dog a cat? Is a dog related to a cat? And every time it says yes, 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 people believe it. And then a generation or two or three down the road, before you know it, it's
right.
Everybody believes a dog's a cat, and these people push their ideology on everybody. It's a shame.
That's what I mean by the nuance. You don't even realize what's happening.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's almost as if, you know, you can't learn anything on your own.
So I think it's funny when we started this segment, what was it, 6 months ago, maybe, or so, maybe something longer like now, this AI segment, we, I think one of the first ones we had, it was like people like, I don't know, there's a couple, was it Elon Musk or a couple people were like, hey, I think we need to slow down.
Yes, Elon Musk was one.
And I don't know, I don't remember who it was, but a couple people were like, hey, we need to slow down because this isn't really ready.
Yeah.
And there just became this huge frenzy to push forward with it.
and big corporations. Yeah.
And I think this is like Gemini is one of those. That's examples. The repercussion of you didn't take your time. You didn't go slow enough. You didn't do enough testing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what you get. Right. I guess.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it's going away. Right. It's not like the internet's here to stay. And it seems like these AI tools are also probably not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I think that as a society, we just have to sit there and work through the bugs together with AI. I mean, the internet obviously had some bugs and cybersecurity and whatnot, but I think AI is going to have a lot more. And, you know, I don't know, maybe one day we'll figure out how to regrow hair for Baldwin. We'll see.
Shangri-La.
Shangri-La, exactly.
Well, I had a good time today beating on Google for a little bit. That's fun.
Yeah, as did I. So, but yeah, we're going to wrap it up. You know, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. Be on the lookout for that 2024 Business Central release wave one. Should be starting to roll out, what, in April?
Yeah.
Well, starting in
depending.
April.
Yeah, probably mid, late April if you're in BC Online.
Yeah. Yep. And as always, don't forget to like the post, share the post, tell your friends about it, about the podcast. And Ken, take us home.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Bye-bye.